Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Friday solo episode for you of Time Freedom for Lawyers, coming to you live, kind of live. I don't know. I'm recording this in San Diego a couple of days before the TBI Med Legal Conference. I'm out on the West Coast, hoping to learn a little bit this week about number one, running a great conference, number two, brain injury science. And then number three, making sure that I meet as many people as possible, hand out as many cards as possible, and try to drive some more listeners to this show. So if I've met you this week and you're listening to this, welcome to the show, and thank you for giving us a try.
Welcome to Time Freedom for Lawyers, where the goal is to become less busy, make more money, and spend more time doing what you want instead of what you have to. Bringing together guests from all walks of life who are living a life of their own design and sharing actionable tips for how you too can live the life of your dreams. Now, here's your host, Brian Glass.
So my wife would tell you that my toxic trait is that I can't walk into any business without thinking of three things I would do differently and three things in my view that I would do better. And this came to a full head this week as we went out and purchased our first new car. The last time I bought a car, it was a used car. It was a GMC Acadia. And our process was that we went to CarMax, narrowed down the kinds of cars that we wanted, and then watched both CarMax and Carvana for when the car with all the features in the color that we wanted came onto the market. And I was convinced at that time I would never again set foot in a dealership because the car buying process from Carvana was amazing. I picked out what I wanted, handled all the financing in advance, made a down payment, and then this tow truck just shows up at my house with the car on the back of it, unloads the car, I go test drive it in my own neighborhood. They loaded my trade-in back onto the car, and the guy was out of my house and out of my life with, it could not have been more than 20 minutes. Which is the exact opposite, if you've ever bought a car in a dealership, the exact opposite of the speed with which dealerships do anything. And so I said 5 years ago when I bought that car, this is the greatest vehicle transaction I've ever had in my life. We are never, ever, ever going back inside a dealership. And then my wife decided she wanted a brand new car. And happy wife, happy life, right? So here's what I learned is that dealerships are still doing the same stupid shit that they've been doing forever. Like the number of times we heard during this process, oh, I got to go check with my manager, and the dealer would disappear for 10 minutes and then they'd come back with an answer from the manager. Like, just bring this guy downstairs so that I can talk to him. I am confident that there's somebody out there listening who loves spending a Saturday afternoon negotiating and getting the best deal on a car. I do not. I could not care less about a couple $100 one way or the other, as long as I get like the 4 hours of my life that we're going to spend in the dealership back. And then if you haven't bought a car recently and you need to go out and do so, you're in for a treat because in fact, there are like no cars on the lot. Cars have gotten really, really hard to purchase because the inventory is so low. So we went to three different dealerships to test drive new vans. Went to a Chrysler, we went to a Toyota, and we went to a Honda. The Chrysler and the Toyota didn't have any 2023 versions of the van on the lot. Toyota actually told us, we have one coming in next week, but somebody's already bought it. But as long as you can get here before them, we'll let you test drive their car. And so we can call you when it comes in. We passed on that opportunity. Thankfully, Honda had a whole bunch on the lot for whatever reason, but they were all bought and spoken for. And so, you know, the process really is flipped on its head. You're paying well over MSRP now. You have no leverage. And maybe what I saw in the dealership is a function of that. I don't think so, because it's the same dealership process that I've seen every other time I bought a car in a dealership, but maybe it's a function of we just have no leverage. So I made note of a couple of things that I think car dealers are doing, at least this car dealer was doing. They're just really, really stupid. And my challenge to you is go back home after you listen to this and think about things that you're doing or your employees might be doing in your business that somebody is going to say that's a really stupid way to do things. So number one really stupid thing that they're doing is the trade-in value. So we're trading in a 2011 or 2012 Honda Odyssey, and the Honda dealership offered us $4,300, right? Kelley Blue Book is like anywhere from 8 to 11. Honda offers $4,300 saying it needs $3,000 worth of work and we need to make some profit after we sell it. Like totally fair. You need to make your profit, right? But the agent that we're working with, she pulls us aside and she says, you just go to CarMax. Go to CarMax, have them evaluate your car, get a written appraisal from them, and we'll match it. So what do? We go to CarMax and do exactly that. And CarMax tells us the car is worth $10,600. The aggravating part about this is that Honda clearly would have paid $10,600 for the car, right? And it cannot be the case that there's $6,000 worth of discrepancy between what one place would have paid for that car and what another place would have paid for it. Like, it's just not the case that CarMax is going to buy this thing for 250% or whatever it is of what Honda thinks the thing is. So Honda is trying to screw you. Their agent knows that they're trying to screw you, and she wants to do right by you because she wants the deal. So she's pulling you aside, undercutting the manager and saying, no, here's what you should really do to get max value. Like, if that's going on in your business, you either have an employee problem or you have a process problem. Here, Honda has a process problem. Their process sucks. And so the employee is going around the manager, undermining the process and making sure that her client, us, actually gets a reasonably good deal. Speaking of process, the sales process also sucks. By the time that we showed up at the appointment, we had an agreed upon price and we had an agreed upon trade-in value. And we're paying cash. And the appointment of handing over a check and walking out with a car still took the better part of 2.5 hours. Why does that happen? Well, we show up, the car is not ready, right? It's not washed and it's not ready, even though we have a scheduled 3 p.m. appointment to show up for this car. And so what do? We sit there at the agent's desk, kind of go back and forth on some paperwork. She gets some information from us, but then she's like, again, disappearing for just 10, 15 minutes at a time. Even though we were paying cash, they made us fill out a credit application. And I pushed back on this. I said, why do you need any of this information? Turns out they didn't actually need the credit application. They needed us to fill out the blocks in the credit application so that they had our information so they could populate the title. And so as somebody who's coming in paying cash, I'm going, why am I filling this out? Why don't you have a separate form where you capture my information, where you can populate the title form? So that happens. And then 2 hours into the appointment, we discover that, okay, now they're going to go and start the title paperwork. That process is going to take another 25 minutes. All of this information they had before we walked in the door, and all of it could have been entered into their system and ready to go long before we walked in the door. There's no reason for us to be there for 2.5 hours. And then, of course, you get kind of like classic sales technique, right? You close the deal downstairs, but then they usher you upstairs to the sales manager office to finalize everything, right? So they've taken you, they've moved you to a different place. It's rather than being at a desk in the middle of a showroom, it's in somebody's office. The guy, he's in a suit. He's the only guy in the whole place who's in a suit, right? So we've made this guy some kind of an authority figure, and now he's going to attempt to sell the extended warranty package. And, you know, and I won't get into everything that's wrong with the extended warranty package. But my issue is, as a consumer, you're springing this on me at the end of a deal. You're giving me no opportunity to assess whether it's a good value. They tell you all this stuff that's covered that many times is not actually covered in the contract. Why anybody buys this stuff, I don't know. And neither does the guy who's selling it, by the way, because there's four options. I let him, because I'm kind of interested in the sales process and I've already been there for 2.5 hours and the rest of my afternoon is already ruined anyway. So why not just listen to the rest of his sales process? So I let him go through the whole thing. He goes through, you know, from level D to C to B to A, up the scale of the more expensive product, the better product. And he's trying to sell the highest levels of the product, which come, I don't know, all of the bells and whistles of of the warranty. It comes with some maintenance stuff. It comes with, if you lose your key, we'll replace the key, like whatever. But again, I have no means by which of judging, is this purchase a good purchase or not? And so I have no intention of doing that deal. So we said, no, we're not going to do any extended warranty or any package in addition to buying the car from you guys. He's like, okay, yeah, you guys are smart. Like, a lot of this stuff is silly. But what really what we want to talk about is like the lower two tiers of this package, because I think that stuff's really important. And I have enough like sales training on my own to know exactly what he's doing, right? He's aligning himself with you. He's reaffirming your values that we don't spend money on superfluous stuff. And he's trying to make a friend out of you and trying to get you to do the deal. And so ultimately we said, you know, we're not going to do that either. And we walked out of that amazingly without buying anything else. Krista and I, for a long time, were exactly the kind of people that got talked into that. But we had pep talked each other in the beginning. We didn't buy anything else. Just kind of as an aside, like, I don't know, maybe one of the reasons they sell the extended warranty at the end of the sales conversation after you've already agreed to purchase the car is because part of the pitch for that is like, hey, there's a bunch of things that could go wrong in this car 37 months into your ownership of it, right? Right after the 36-month warranty expires. And as you're making a $40,000 or $50,000 purchase, you want to believe that that thing is going to last longer than 36 months. And so they can't tell you until after the sales process is all the way finished that no, there are some things in here that might break down in month 37. So why do they do this? It's really hard to understand. You know, we walked into a CarMax dealership that's well staffed, you know, good coffee in the corner, very clean and nice. I don't know, not nice art, but like it's a nicely appointed office. And then we're in this Honda dealership and it's just crap. Like everybody smells like smoke. The chairs haven't been updated in 15 years. The ceiling tiles are turning black in places. Nobody's taking care of this place. So why are they able to do that? I don't totally understand it. The only thing that I can think is that because they're the only place that you can go to buy a new Honda because they don't have any competition for that, then they don't care. And so, of course, I told Krista all this and I told her I was going to do this podcast and she's, you know, her response is like, oh, you always think you can run a business better than everybody else. And the reality is I do. I think the customer experience is paramount. The customer experience should be really easy. And as a business that does this transaction dozens of times a week, like you have to know where your customer's pain points are. The best way to watch your customer's pain points in that industry are, you know, the four sales guys who aren't doing anything while the one salesperson is dealing with the one customer who's walked into your building. Like they can watch what happens when the one customer walks away. What are Chris and I talking about one desk away from you when our salesperson walks away? And it was exclusively about, why is this taking so long? Why don't they have anything ready? This is so stupid. And I don't know, like you buy a new car once every 5 years, once 7, 10 years, like what, however long you keep a car. And so maybe when we come back, we'll be looking for a different brand of car. It won't be a Honda. Maybe it doesn't matter. Like maybe customer retention in the car business just doesn't matter, but it does in a law firm. Like reviews matter. Referrals from clients matter. And so you need to be thinking about where are the places in my business that are pain points for my clients along the way. And it's not in the law. It is almost never in the law. Like, because the client has no idea that the law could be any different than it is. The client, frankly, has no idea, for the most part, whether you're doing a good legal job or not. They know they got a good result or they got a bad result. They don't know whether you took an A+ deposition or a C+ deposition, for the most part, right? What clients do know is how they felt about their interaction with your office, how timely the communication was, whether you got everything right the first time, whether you had everything ready for them when they were ready to go. And so understanding when they are ready to go and meeting them on their terms, not your terms, is critically important. And none of that is to say you can be a shitty lawyer, right? Like being a good lawyer is the price to play the game, but there are a lot of good lawyers in my town. There's a lot of good lawyers in your town. The way to differentiate yourself is by having the best customer service experience, not of any law firm, best customer experience of any business that your client is interacting with. How can you be the best at that That's my challenge to you. I'm going to get a beer in San Diego. Have a great weekend. Hey, are you a lawyer who actually thinks about this business stuff and enjoys talking about it? If you are, we'd love to have you in the Great Legal Marketing Tribe. Best way to get in touch with me about this is to email me at brian@benglasslaw.com, and we'll put you in touch with the right people.